The Song of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 30, and chapter 32, verses 1 to 9. Then Moses recited the words of this song to the very end, in the hearing of the whole assembly of Israel. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop like the rain, my speech condensed like the dew, like a gentle rain on grass, like showers on new growth. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord and ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, his word is perfect, all his ways are just. A faithful God without deceit, just and upright as he is, yet his degenerate children have dealt falsely with him, a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and senseless people? Is not he your father who created you, who made you and established you? Remember the days of old, consider the years long past. Ask your father and he will inform you, your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High apportioned the nations, when he divided humankind, he fixed the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the gods. Then the Lord's own portion was his people, Jacob his allotted share.
A reading from the second epistle of St. Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you have now. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it. As to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
For the first year of our marriage, we lived in many places, usually just a few months. We always lived in the house of other people, sometimes together with others, or sometimes in a furnished house that was not really our own. Then a few months after our first child, our daughter, was born, we moved into a little flat in Switzerland. We were able to get some old furniture donated to us because Switzerland is a rich country. That furniture we got was actually quite nice. We bought a little bit more furniture, and so we made what really felt like our first home. It wasn't anything fancy. The furniture, yes, it was nice, but it was a bit of an odd assortment. But the flat was warm, it was in a good location, and from the balcony we even had a good views of the mountains. Not unimpeded views, mind you. There were a few houses in the way that obstructed a roundabout view, but still the highest mountains could be seen in their glory. Our daughter grew up in that flat. That was the world she knew. She knew the way home from the nearby playground. Not that she ever walked to it alone. She knew the way from the bus stop. We didn't have a car. She knew what bus stop to get off. This was her home, the only real home she had ever known. I still remember the night I tucked her up in the bed for the very last time in that flat. She had slept in that bed for 1.5 years because she had actually graduated from the cot very early to a bed. That evening, I sang her a lullaby as I normally did, but my throat could hardly form the words when I realized that this would be the last time, that tomorrow night she would not sleep among these familiar walls. And after I had kissed her goodnight, I even wept a bit. Well, we stayed in Switzerland for further 2 months in another flat as we waited for my wife's visa. At the end of those 2 months, I went back with my daughter to the flat that we had lived in for so long to give something to our former neighbors. But after 2 months, she had already moved on. She did not know the bus stop at which we would get off the bus. She did not know the way to the house. She did not even seem to recognize our old flat from the outside. It seems she didn't remember. I was a bit troubled by that. I had expected her to remember. Nowadays, she has a photo album of the time there, and maybe she remembers that way. Well, at the time, she was just 2.5 years old. Children don't remember much from that early on. But this just made it clear to me how little we often remember. And not just children. It happens to all of us. For example, Bishop Selwyn wrote that he was troubled that he could not remember the face of his daughter, who died a few weeks old. There was just no memory there. Maybe today pictures help with our remembering, but in our fast-moving world, our own memory fades quickly too. We rely so much on machines to do the remembering that we do often little ourselves. As you know, sometimes as we get older, we have problems remembering. And what happens to our memories then? Are they just lost, or are they held and redeemed by God? There will always be times when we forget the past, when we fail to remember. But the texts that we read today, they ask us to remember what matters most, especially if we can. For if we remember God's saving acts for us, if we remember who we are in God's sight, then our lives will be different. And we are called to remind each other to keep following the good way. It's not so much that we are to remember the exact qualities of a godly life. Rather, we should remember the overall balance, not only be concerned about holiness, not only be concerned about knowledge. When our spiritual life becomes too one-sided, we need to remember those qualities, those stories that make our faith more complete, more rounded. Remembering here is not just recalling facts, nor is it an emotional nostalgia for feelings we had in the past. Rather, we are called to remember who we are in God and what God has done for us and for the world. That also involves acknowledging and taking inspiration from God's work in other people, from the memories they share with us. Our walk with God is not a solitary journey. We need reminding, maybe because at times our own memory is too weak. Being reminded of God's goodness gives us sustenance even in difficult times. Even though my daughter has forgotten much about her life in Switzerland, she has formed a relationship with her parents at that time, a relationship that continues and I hope that will endure. And I have not forgotten those times. They are some of the most memorable moments of my life. They will define my relationship with my daughter forever. I know that even though she has grown up, this is the little girl that was fascinated by the castle ruins we visited and happily crawled across the castle courtyard. That is the girl who ran down a hill in the Swiss mountains laughing with joy, who liked to watch the ducks at the lake with me, with whom I went on steamship cruises on mountain lakes, whom I carried in my arms when she fell asleep on the bus, who I sang lullabies to at night. And so our lives define our relationship with our Heavenly Father, who is always faithful. If we also remember our life with God, His guidance and care, we can respond in faith. Amen.